caution. Learning in progress.
Hello, everyone, and thank you so much for listening to another episode of Smarter Every Season. My name is Tyler Hubert, and Hans, today is the magic day. This is when we start doing our weekly in-season podcast episodes. Really feels like we just got done doing these not that long ago.
It does. It was a quick year.
but here we are. Still a lot of areas that have been kind of cold and chilly, but spring is... it's coming.
It doesn't feel like it right now, but it is right around the corner.
I looked at the forecast for Tremont for next Monday, the 8th, and it's 70 degrees, and I think that's when we'll start to see
some guys start to get the itch. The itch is starting to come out.
Yep.
Which is good. It's good. It's really good. It feels cold this morning, but it's a good day.
Which that's talking around here. I know there's a lot of other areas that have kicked off. So let's talk a little bit about what's been driving our call volume. If you're new to this, what we try to do with these episodes is we try to keep them, I'll say, short.
You know, 10 to
15 minute range, and we're trying to hit on what's driving our call volume. We're trying to pass along any helpful tips we have to the dealer network, helping them get growers prepared for a successful spring. So Hans, we're going to kind of categorize these by Gen 2, Gen 3, and then probably .1 software. Let's start with the Gen 2. I've had a fair amount of questions about guys noticing. We have, for probably 4 years, not had any software updates to the Gen 2. You've always ran 2020.0.1. We have a 2020.0.4 now. Do I update to that? What's the coaching you give with this, I'll put it in quotes, new software?
Yep. So I would say basically the 2020.0.4 software for Gen 2s included several of the hex files that we used to sideload to a system to try and get some of our new hardware components up and running. So... if you got a new install, I would put them on 2020.0.4. If they've been running for years and haven't had any issues, leave them where they're at. But primarily, this is to address some guys that they've changed out a smart firmware to. And one of the new smart firmwares, we had to make a hardware change for those SRMs with new accelerometers to read good ride. They need to be on this software if they're going to be running the new SRMs. And then there also is a couple of fixes for just improvements to V-Drive Insecticide as far as some jamming issues with those. So those are the primary things on that one. If they're not running new hardware, they haven't had any negative experiences with it, with the software they're running, stay on what they're running. It's fine. Okay. But if you have new SRMs or if it's a new install or new smart firmwares, I'd get them on 2020.0.4.
Okay. I think that's what we had for Gen 2. Let's step into Gen 3. We're talking specifically .0 software. I think there's going to be a fair amount of people that run on 23.0 or 24.0.
Mm-hmm.
So these should apply to those growers.
Correct.
So let's go ahead and start with smart depth calibration. And actually, I'm going to be up front. This one could bleed into .1. I'm going to ask you to apply what we're going to talk about to .1 too.
Yep.
But it applies to both. And so we're in the .0 branch first. And let's bring it up here.
Yep. So when you're running smart depth calibration, one, you're going to go through the range finding sequence first. That can be done with the planter lifted, but to actually get to where you actually calibrate the smart depth to your 2x4s or whatever it is you have set underneath the gauge wheels, the planter has to be lowered in order for it to operate that system. The 2020 has to see a lift switch reading lowered or else it won't run. That's just and that applies to both .1 and .0. Both of them have the same requirements. It's one of those strange things when we list out those calibration checklists, those bullet points, look those over because it does say in there it needs to be lowered for that calibration to go through.
It's easy to miss that.
It
because
is.
Because you don't have to have the planter lowered when you do the range.
Correct.
Step.
Yep.
But then you move into the offset and you think, the planter's where it needs to be. We sneak that one in.
We change one line in that spot there. This is a requirement.
That's right.
But that's one thing we just know it happens a little bit.
Still a fair amount of questions around rate controller and pressure sensor module. There's a mouthful. Connections. Anything to pass along there? And I'm specifically talking now kind of the decoupled rate controller and pressure sensor in the V-Apply family of products.
Yep. When you got the new rate controller with the 3 pressure port module, it's easy to get it confused, but they need to be on the same row. It's easy. We mix and match a lot of things. But in .0 software, you need to have that on the same row with the same color jumper. Otherwise, if you have them in different rows or different jumpers, we will not show them in the on the display.
Seems like I have at least one call like this a year, too. But if you've got a guy who hasn't updated software since 22, we did not have compatibility with those until 23.0.
Correct.
So make sure if it's a situation where he's ran vApply for years, but now I put on one of those new pressure sensor modules and I can't pick it up. Okay. Make sure you're on 23.0 or...
Or 24.0. Yep. Right. Yep.
Yep. Hans, let's talk internal battery failure warning. It seems like these calls come up quite a bit now as guys are pulling the DBM back out and get them plugged in for the first time in 9 or 10 months.
Yeah, you'll see this a couple of times. We've talked about it in the past, but just remember that that is a battery that can be recharged, and what that internal battery pops up is if it's been sitting on the shelf for 9 months, that battery could have drained out, and you'll still get that pop-up when you go to fire it up first thing. That's not a big deal. Just let it charge. And it should be good to go. But just let it – it's a, one of those things that give it some time either in the tractor with the key on for a while or in the shop on a wall charger and let it recharge that battery.
Yep. Okay, there's a couple other bullet points that I want to pass along here. First of all, this is a little bit predictive, but what happens in the next couple of weeks as planters start to fire up is we tend to see a lot of flow rate adjustment calls.
We do.
With liquid. And so the way that usually goes is, hey, I've got a guy who's got, whether it's flow sense, whether it's HD in sections, where it's HD every row, who's trying to hit X rate, but he's actually getting X. So the big thing for me when I have those conversations is, okay, how does he know he's actually getting, you know, he's aiming for 10, but he's getting 12. How does he know? Well, he's tracking the tank. Okay. There's some danger in that, right?
Yep.
It's the tank does not have finite markings, right? A lot of times those go by groups of 50 gallons or 100 gallons,
yeah.
Right? And I've also been burned enough times where, like, a tank doesn't sit quite square in kind of the holding arms or the rocker arms.
Yeah.
So the best thing is going to be a bucket test.
Bucket test. You need to bucket test it at that point. If you're going to question it, then, okay, you're valid to say that the tank is a good guideline. But if you think that's off, then you need to go bucket test it.
Agreed. So that's going to be the most definite way to know.
Yep.
He's truly off, or we need to make an adjustment to, you know, or sorry, he's actually off, or he's actually nailing it, and we just have to make an adjustment to like a flow sense,
correct,
right? Something like that.
Correct.
All that to say, the best way to do that, and I would strongly encourage folks to, if you haven't had this phone call yet, there's a chance you will, okay? So familiarize yourself with the flow rate adjustment worksheet. Yep. And if I try to go through an example right now, it's going to kind of be a bit of a word salad.
Yep.
But the first page of this, now it's under vApply HD mm-hmm. on the cloud, under product resources, right? And then if you go to installation resources, you'll see a document that says flow rate adjustment and orifice balancing worksheet. There are additional pages in there that talk about finding a good orifice in that process, right? You're really honing in on page one.
That should be where you're going to start.
Which talks through the process of how do I do the bucket check and what do the bucket check results tell me? And then how do I move that into an adjustment that I need to make?
Correct.
Right? So I'm not going to get into, well, how do I know if I adjust it here? How do I know if I adjust it this direction? The worksheet will step you through that. But my two cents is if you just pick that worksheet up cold and try to work through one for the first time, you could fumble a bit. Give yourself a fake scenario. We actually just did for 5 minutes before recording this.
We did, just to make sure that we knew what we were talking about.
Yep. But if you give yourself a fake scenario and step through it, it makes sense.
Yes,
you
it does.
You can piece together, oh, okay, I see what I'm supposed to do here.
Yep.
But just to pick it up when you're on the phone with a grower, you may kind of fumble through that a little bit. So give yourself 5 minutes of practice. I think it'll make you a world of difference. But it's flow rate adjustment and orifice balancing. And that season is coming.
It is.
Okay?
Yep.
All right. Hans, the other one that I wanted to pass along, and I certainly would value your input here, is there's been enough instances in the past couple of years. Now we're seeing more and more planters where we're splitting can
mm-hmm.
on a Gen 3. And at this time of year when guys are kind of getting the planter out and getting everything hooked up for the first time, I've seen a lot of instances where can A and can B, you've got 2 4-pin connections at the hitch. Yep. And, hey, I've got 2 4-pin connections coming off this DBM. I'm just going to plug them together, and A and B get switched.
Yep.
We don't send key switch power through can B.
You do not.
And so you will have no power to the back of the planter. So watch for that, first of all. And then secondly, it's just a pass on. If you see no lights on the back of the planter and you think the solenoid must be bad, if you have no key switch power to the SRM, if the SRM is not lit up in the PDM, bypassing the solenoid will do you no good.
Nope.
You have a key switch power issue.
Correct.
You have to figure that out. This is not a solenoid issue. The problem's before.
Correct.
So it's watch for that, because if you bypass a solenoid when the SRM and the PDM is still red in the 2020 or has no light flash, not going to help you.
Nothing will change in the diagnosed bait. Nothing on the in the rest of the planter will go green because the first SRM has not identified.
I'm not actually certain if you do that, if you would actually get the rose to be green. But the
I don't think you will.
Yeah. Nevertheless, even if you do or don't, you will not daisy chain properly.
You will not daisy chain properly.
That's the start of that sequence.
The start of the sequence is there. And so that's actually, it's just, and it's very common to get those two mixed up. I've worked with enough growers and my personal family to know that plug can get mixed up very easily.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Anything else that we wanted to bring up on dot O?
I think that's the majority of where we're at for now. I'm not sure we'll have a couple more things pop up here and there, but the majority of that's covered there.
Sounds good. Let's roll into dot one. Hans, best practices for the 16-inch display when we plug it in. And I want to call out that the reason we're bringing this up is it has to be on dot one.
It does have to be on dot one.
So you could be in for a little longer process if the DBM is not on dot one the first time you plug in that 16-inch display.
Correct. I would not. So what's happening on some of these systems that they're plugging in a 16-inch display into a DBM that's on 23 or 24.0, not on dot one, which then anytime you do it, plug in a display that doesn't match the DBM software, it tries to backdate the display to whatever the DBM is. And so it's trying to take a 16-inch back to an old version of software that doesn't exist. It then basically gets stuck in a boot loop, and then you have to run boot software to both the DBM and the display to get both of these back up and running. So it's important that the best process is DBM with a 10-inch display, update them both to 24.1, then remove the 10-inch and add the 16-inch in and let it update to 24.1. The other option, if you don't want to do that, is take 24.1 software, boot it to the DBM, and then boot the display as well.
Okay.
To 24.1. I would, and just to call out on that, I would highly recommend that you stay on the most current .1 version of that when you start with that.
Yep. 10.4. Okay. I've had a couple of phone calls where somebody will call and say all their DeltaForce load cells are yellow. Mm-hmm. What's causing that?
So a lot of times on .1, that's coming in because the row unit type and the load cell do not match. If those do not match, so if you have a Kinsey row unit paired with a Deere load cell, those do not match, and that will not that will show up yellow on the diagnosed page. It will also not map correctly on the for downforce, but that is a common issue that you will see. So you want to make sure that you match the row unit type in the display on when you set the equipment up. Mm-hmm. That has to match the load cell type that you select when you select a downforce sensor.
Yeah. Okay, that's an extra step this year.
It is an extra step. It's an extra critical step this year.
Yep.
And then the final step that goes with that then is that it also has to be calibrated or zeroed. If it's not in zero in the calibrations page, they will also not read.
Okay.
So it does have to have a zero. The initial zero is what gives it its first cal number essentially to read.
Okay. Yeah. You also had another bullet point to pass on. I think it could also overlap with .0 or .1, but it's just a generally...
Yeah, it's more common on .1. Any type of system that you have set up on your systems list, so V-Drive, Downforce, Ferroforce, Road Controller, anything that you have set up in that page also has to have a control widget that is enabled on the home screen. So that's it's common. It happens quite a bit. If you have two liquid systems, you have two liquid, control screens. If you have a seating and a downforce, you have to have a seating and a downforce on the home screen. Even if they're just monitor only systems, you have to have them enabled, or else the system will not map on the home screen. It will not show it.
That's usually the call.
Yeah. It's nothing's mapping on the screen.
My FlowSense won't map. Yeah. That's where I think guys get held up too, is because even if we're not quote controlling anything, if you have FlowSense or a smart connector, you still have to have that widget.
Correct.
Because that's where you put in your target rate That's what enables our mapping, our bar chart.
Our alerts.
Thank you. Yes.
Yep.
Yeah. So watch out for that.
Watch out for that.
Yeah. Hans, what didn't we cover?
One thing on dot one is there are alerts for a lot of different things. Make sure you check them out before you, if you're getting a lot of alerts, make sure you're checking out what the alerts are set for. There's more than just an alert for seating now. So look through the alerts page when you set it up.
Yep. I think that's a great point.
Otherwise, I think that covers most of what we're covering.
Sounds good, sir. Well, thank you all so much for listening. That's going to do it for us. Until next week, have a safe and happy spring.